Stanley Turrentine, that was from his 1962 album, Jubilee Shout. His brother Tommy is on trumpet. Sonny Clark is on piano. Kenny Burrell is on guitar. Butch Warren on bass. And Al Harewood on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and all kinds of crazy things are happening in my neighborhood, including the fact that we are now having to obey a curfew from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. because, well, because Donald Trump says so. There's to be no attack of malls or the people who go into them, or the communities that the malls are in. Well, he is a citizen of Florida now, so he's got to see to a wider constituency. So the 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew is in effect, and this is how it goes. Today, what I wanted to ask you to participate in is analysis. And that analysis has to do with the revamping, if you will, of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is revamping himself, reinventing himself, recasting himself in some kind of a new mold, although I'm not sure what it is. It seems to be so far a mishmash of things, that he wants different constituencies to be thinking about him. And he's very serious about it. This is not a joke. He's very, very serious about presenting the many sides of himself that should appeal to voters. This is the newly minted president of the United States. The more thoughtful president, the more responsible president, and responsive president. He wants us to see the light. He wants us to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Except that many of us know it's an oncoming train. That's really what Donald Trump is to many of us at this moment. And we stand in disbelief that his people will allow him to go so far out of reach that they can't reel him in. So he's practically a one-man band. He's broadcasting his message himself. He is personally available. He is a reborn president. Okay. So as we can see, there's a big change in Donald Trump. Hounded by his inept handling and outright dismissal of myriad crises and catastrophes, President Donald Trump has come to, or has been made to, understand that his re-election to a second term is not at all a sure thing. So he's revamping. In recent weeks, Trump has been making a great effort to revamp and rebrand, but from what to what? Or more intriguingly, from what to what else? So we are going to ask you today to tell us what you make of this new shift as he tries to earn more credits as America's greatest, richest, most politically astute, most popular, and accomplished president. Will this born again revamp help him or hurt him? That's the question. So, as you address the question, tell us what element you are addressing. What is it that you have found to be new about the president, or trying to be new, trying to cast a new line out to sea to catch more fish? Oh, well, if it's one thing, he's not boring. He gets some credit for that. But seriously, this is a president who knows no shame, who is greedy, completely self-centered, narcissistic, doesn't begin to describe it. And he wants what he wants, like any brat, like any child raised to think he is the center of the universe and everybody's job is to give him exactly what he wants when he wants it. But there's something very profound happening, and we shouldn't miss it. And that is that despite the effort to make it appear that he is fearless, he's really running scared. He's actually terrified. And so he looks more and more bombastic, which could be an indication that he's slipping off the ledge. Who is going to catch him and put him back on firm ground? Who is going to do that work to rehabilitate him and his image, if it is possible still to do? But we don't care whether it is possible still. What we are interested in is looking at the metamorphosis, how he changes depending on the climate, how he communicates his messages, what his expectations are as he communicates these messages, and how do you see this new Trump? Is he actually dumping parts of the old Trump and taking on entirely new aspects to his character and to his culture and to his sense of duty as a president and a more responsible president, a more responsive president? And will it work? Is it working for you? The great revamp, will it pay off? We don't know. All we know is that in this period of his life, as he mounts a campaign for re-election, he's getting more and more outrageous, more and more out there. And it appears that fewer and fewer people want to reel him in. Maybe they just say, you know what, let him just self-implode. Let him do that on his own, but we're not going to be part of it. We'll stand by and watch. But he is unreachable. He listens to no one. He takes nobody's advice because, of course, he knows everything and he's perfect in every way. So there is where we're going today. As you observe this president in the heat of a re-election campaign and dragging so many negatives around with him and creating new ones day by day, is it only in his imagination that he is to be perceived as changing, as developing, as responding to the needs of people? Is this a ruse? Is it just that he's crazy and can't figure out that fewer and fewer people are taking him seriously? And more people are concerned about his mental acuity, his mental stability, and believe it to be the reason for his erratic actions now. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's see what you pick up. I'd like you to, as you discuss Trump, to just take one aspect that stands out to you more than others. And could you talk about why this has come to your attention? Why do you believe that whatever constituency he's trying to appeal to, what could be the reason for that? And what could be the reason for that now? 888-874-4888. In the meantime, Floyd Mayweather says that he will pay for the funeral of George Floyd and a memorial service on June the 9th, when services are to be held in Houston for him. So that is, in the middle of all of this craziness, we still see enormous compassion and people so deeply affected by George Floyd's death. So this is a very appropriate thing to do, and I'm glad that Mayweather reached out with that offer and that the family has accepted it. All right, let's get on with this business of the revamped or revamping President Donald Trump. Ed from Queens, you start us off today.
Yeah, good afternoon, Eutrice. How are you?
Good. How are you
Good.
with
How
your
are you?
thumbs?
What's up? You know me and my thumbs. We're here. They're well
Yep.
developed. I think you could call them ripped now. They've been hanging off for quite some time. But I mean, as far as any type of revamping or reinventing, I don't see it. You know, I mean, I've known of Trump since the days of Walden Rink. And due to my work, I've worked with contractors who actually participated with him in that project and lost their, and one or two of them lost their businesses behind dealing with him. He's a con man. He's a hustler at best. And at his worst, he's a deranged individual with narcissistic tendencies. So I don't see any reinventing. I see him scrambling. I mean, anybody that has any type of sense or brains can see that he was totally unprepared for anything that took place during his administration. In the beginning, it was cute. Then it got to be criminal. Now it's basically borders on insanity of a madman who has caused death. I mean, people have died because of this man's lack of action and his greed and his avarice and his narcissistic childlike tendencies. And I think that more people are starting to see that. Even some of his hardcore base can't deny the fact that the man doesn't have a clue. And he's in that conundrum as to what do I do? What can I throw up? What con can I sell to people now? And there
Well,
really
he
isn't
could
anything.
sell us a Bible, stand in front of a church. And by the way, the minister of that church is outraged by Trump's action. Stand holding a Bible and standing in front of the church, basically trying to signify that he's a man of God.
That's my point exactly. I mean, this guy's from one extreme to the other. He's grasping at straws, and he's surrounded by underlings. When you have what I call a Napoleon complex, when you have a lack of self-esteem, of self-worth, you surround yourself with lessers to make yourself feel bigger, like a big fish in a small pond. And that's what he's done. He surrounded himself with people who, even in the crisis, couldn't help themselves. So they much less couldn't help him. And he's scrambling. He's scrambling. He's chucking. He's jiving. He's using ballot, mail-in ballots, as a setting up the excuse for if and when he does lose, this is why. He's standing in front of the Bible, a man who doesn't have any type of religious compulsion whatsoever and out of, throughout his history. You know, like you said, even the reverend of the church is like, you know, get out of here. So, I mean, it would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic.
But do you think, though, as gimmicky as it is, do you think it would attract new people to him and, in fact, give people an entirely different dimension of the president that we have missed before? And now he's working hard for our attention.
If I was still 4 years old, and I'd fall for the trick where you can pull my nose off or pull a quarter from behind my ear, yeah, I'd be impressed. But I happen to be an adult. You know what I mean? Anybody who's an adult, anybody who's got eyes can see this man is a fool, and see this what it is. I mean, there are some people in this country. I've met them, and I've tried to talk to them on occasion, but I can't because I have to restrain myself. But there are some people that think this guy walks on water, and those people you're not going to shake. But and that's a percentage of this country. But I don't think now in what has taken place in especially recently, I don't think there are enough of them. And I think he knows that. And I think he's just he's doing what he did at Walden Rink. He took on a job that he couldn't handle, and when it came down to it, he blamed everybody else and tried to set himself up to look like the failure wasn't his fault. And that's what he's done. That's what he's done from the time when he got away from his father. Like my friend said, he was born on third base trying to make you think he run a home run.
Well, I see you have had the opportunity to think about this a bit. Thank you, Ed, for your call today. Gwen from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Okay. And I hope Gwen gets back to you. I love her calls. I tell you, I disagree with you because I find him kind of boring. You know, it's hard to listen to the third grade vocabulary. That is boring to me, and tough and strong and strongly seems to be his two biggest words, you know.
But, you know, that's to you and it may be to me. Now, there is a huge group out there waiting to account to Trump. They want to let him know that they support him. They're available. And the Democrats don't seem to be going after them. So it leaves the space open.
Are pretty quiet now. We haven't heard any statement from any of them, including the Black Caucus, okay? Getting back to Donald, and we need to call him Donald because as New Yorkers and in the tri-state, we know that he was a grifter and a grafter, so we don't have to even kind of recognize him as our president. I call him the white supremacist president. But something I want to share, because you brought some important insight and around how he was up under the car and his head, which, you know, it's hard to take in the whole murder porn scene, but you can't help but wonder whether, because the weight of just that one Chauvin guy on the car at any point could have pinched his ear. But something I want to mention that I haven't heard anybody talk about. When you think about Abner Louima, there was a Far Rockaway incident too, and there's just numerous of women, including in the suburbs, a lot of white women who get stopped and get raped. There was an aspect to what Killer Mike called murder porn, in that notice his hands.
Are you on subject, or have you already strayed several times away?
Donald Trump, like I say, he's a white supremacist president, which not everyone, but a whole lot of people accept, and that's why we had this scene. So if you want me to hold it till Friday, I will. But there's an aspect of excited delirium, tintillation that we need to look at.
What is it that he is doing? What do you think all this is about? Why is he out there with these crazy caricatures and his, standing in front of a church, holding up a Bible, basically
upside down, by the way.
He's with the Lord and all this other kind of stuff. I mean, what is going on? Is he unraveling? Is this just electioneering?
He's unraveling, and the Bible was held upside down. The Bishop Booty made some excellent points in terms that he didn't come to pray. He didn't come to express lament about George Floyd's death. He didn't come with a message of things changing in terms of how she had put it, a healing and resolve. And that would have been, he doesn't even have anybody around him that could put together something he could read off a teleprompter, even if it's not genuine. But then he threw in the Second Amendment, so I guess that was significant, because he's trying to, you remember how when he was being impeached at one point, he said his bikers and military and police, he's feeling pretty desperate now.
You think so? This is not confidence we're seeing. We're seeing desperation, as you see it.
He's totally, first of all, he's totally demented. He can't even put together a sensible sentence or sentences in a paragraph, because he's incoherent. It's just, and they were getting so close to the White House at one point that he was in the underground bunker. That's how fearful he was.
Do you think people will in any way buy it, that he's making a strong effort to basically make himself known, even if it looks ridiculous, but he's trying very hard to get to the people and get his message to the people himself? Do you give him any credit at all for doing any of these things?
No, because he doesn't even have a speechwriter.
No, he's as simple as that.
I mean, you would think that he would have some grief himself and lament and suggest that, well, even if he wasn't genuine, that the system will be significantly changed. And it will be significantly changed. We've hit a tipping point, and that's a good side of it. I heard people saying, take the guns away from those thugs.
All right. Well, so far, it's 3-3. Well, this is not a good score. Thanks, Matt, for your contribution today. From Orlando, Tony, you're on the air. How are you reading all of this and the most recent effort by Donald Trump to be understood and to make himself newly known to a whole bunch of people he did not know before or who did not know him? Is this revamping going to work, or are people seeing through it?
I don't see what he's doing is a revamp of anything. I just see him doubling down on his phony baloney act as this ultra conservative Republican. It's all an act. All of these things that he's doing, whether it's pushing the Second Amendment, holding up the Bible in front of a church for a photo op, all of these things, this is all out of the Republican playbook. Basically that's what it is. This guy, he's none of these things. He doesn't go to church. He probably can't fire a firearm. and all of these things that he pushes, military. He's a draft dodger, you know. But he's pro military like no one else in the world. All of these things that he proclaims to be and stand for, he's none of it. It's all an act, and he's not revamping anything. If anything, he's just doubling down on the fake act that he's been pushing these past years as president.
Well, fake act or no, he's going to get a lot of coverage simply because the plan that he seems to be following is very simple. Just do one outrageous thing after the other, or one thing that people do not expect him to do, like the Bible issue. And so that people, he can draw attention. People will still be talking about him. And people would be, if nothing, amused. And he's looking to gauge the effectiveness of this ploy to say that he's really trying to shape up his campaign. He really wants to reach new audiences, new people, new voters. And he's doing the best he can at that without the extra, you know, the extra audience, the people who usually follow a candidate around. The entourage isn't there. It's just him. And, of course, the microphones and the cameras. But do you give him any credit at all? Do you think we are underrating him?
See, he's been underrated this whole time. This whole time he's been underrated because he's using all of the things that divide this country to his advantage. He, like I said, he's hitting on all cylinders when it comes to the Republican agenda. He's the president of all the Republicans, the ultra hardcore conservative Republicans in the United States. He's not anybody else's president in the United States. Here we have, you got a virus. He's politicized that. Now he got doctors saying that this medicine is good, and then you have other doctors saying that that medicine is not good. And even he's got the doctors fighting amongst each other. Then we have the situation with the police brutality in the United States. And the first thing the only thing he wants to talk about are the looters, okay? And he cannot say anything about, like Mahat was saying, that of how to reform the system, how to make things better, how to move forward, how to unite the country. He's not a uniting person. So he doesn't have that in him. He's a divider. And so he's going to fail at bringing any new people. If anything, I believe some of the people that have been following him are falling off. And that's why he is desperate. And that's why he's going out there with, you know, holding a Bible up in front of a church, you know, and doing stupid stunts like that. Because he's going to double down on what he was working for him. But I believe that in this time in the United States where you have a pandemic, you have racial divisions, you have all kinds of, I mean, at its all-time highs, he is not the uniter that this country needs at this moment.
Okay. Would this, just the same, I have to ask you, would this gimmick have a chance of doing exactly what he wants to do, which is to bring attention to himself, however ridiculous he has to be or seems to be, but he's drawing attention to himself in the old standard way of people doing outrageous things to get attention without having to spend a lot of money on ads and without, having to take on a fight in public that eventually he will have to finance.
Yes, that's the only thing that is working, is that the people that he does not represent and does not agree with him politically and whatnot, they are actually giving him a spotlight. And they did the same thing during the 2016 election. They gave him a lot of attention and a lot of free time on the air. And it's the same thing with this thing. I mean, every little stupid thing that he does, they cover it. We saw some hope of that not being continued with the crazy pandemic press conferences he was holding. And when it started getting really crazy, when he was politicizing it and then talking as if he was a doctor and promoting drugs and treatments that have not been confirmed to work. And at that point, that's when I believe even his own people told him to, like, you know, zip it up because you're looking like a fool up there. But the media has to be able to decide, listen, is this worth covering or is this just propaganda? And that's something that they're going to have to decide to do.
So at what point will you be willing to concede that, as crazy as it is, he's succeeding?
Oh, he's succeeding. He's succeeding at his at what he's doing. But as far as voters and people to more people following him, I don't think he's not doing anything different. If anything, he's doing more of the same. That's the only thing different that he's doing. So unless there's more. Unless there's more racist and more divisive people out there that he didn't get the first time, I don't see him picking up any moderate people out there that he didn't pick up the first time. And that's what you're going to need. You're going to need some independents to be able to win this vote. You can't just stick with your 30% of the people. And maybe even some of those 30% are it's probably even less. It's probably 25% that are hardcore with this guy. But, you know, like I said, he's succeeding at his show, but it's going to depend on the media to, like, that the whole situation with holding up the Bible. I don't see that as being newsworthy, so that shouldn't even been covered by the major media. I mean, unless he made a speech or a unifying speech in for the country or anything, which I don't think he did. I think it was just a photo op. It shouldn't have been covered.
All right. I agree with you. Thank you for calling in and contributing today. You're on the air, Willie from Brooklyn. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, beautiful, my sister.
Hello. Hello, Willie. How are you doing?
And my parents, family. It's the first time in 30 years. You annoy me. First time.
It took that long to annoy you, huh?
I'm very, very serious. I mean, I know you're trying in every program that you do, you're teaching us something, and I'm trying to figure out what are you trying to teach us. And I'm saying I can't believe this because I thought I was listening to so-called mainstream media. The stuff they broadcast, and I'm saying this doesn't make sense because we all know you're dealing with the parent listeners. They're not like mainstream so-called.
I just assume that everybody who listens to PRN has the same mindset or sees the world the same way, and it is important. I stress this all the time. Don't take anything for granted. Set out in a purposeful way to try to understand what it is you think you understand. And until you take something piece by piece, take it apart to see the component elements of it, sometimes you miss the whole picture because you just accept, you know, well, this is who he is. We don't know who he is. We still don't know who he is. We have used all kinds of adjectives to describe Donald Trump, but that doesn't mean that we know who he is or what.
I bet
what you're different. What is behind his actions and his thinking?
I bet you're different on that because you've done so many programs on it, right? Two and a half years before.
But each of those programs, you had to think about it. That's what I'm saying.
And we have thought about it.
Done off the top of my head. You have to look at the situation, decipher what it is you think you're seeing, and then you get to know better and better about the subject, which is Donald Trump. We can't just take a position, well, he's an idiot. That doesn't put us anywhere. So today, for example, I asked that we look at what could be the plan in his head. What is he thinking he's accomplishing by doing certain things that seem to make no sense to most of us? But is it because we don't understand who he is, or we don't understand politics, we don't understand marketing? What is the reason? This is a very strange development for a president of the United States to act as if immediately he should be taken for observation someplace and treatment. He is not acting like a person in full command of his faculties at all. And we just came through an example of how far this president has gone down the road, a very troubling road, and it is important to note it. It is important for people to understand it, or for themselves to decipher it. We can't just leave it alone. We have to figure out
what is this man doing.
I'm sorry?
I do understand that. But you see, this has nothing to do with Trump. Because he does not have that kind of intelligence to do the things he's doing, unless he's allowed.
How do you know that? It has to do with Trump because he was at the center. He was at front and center of every one of these initiatives that he has undertaken so far in order to revamp or relabel himself. He's at the center of it. He's the one masterminding it and choreographing it, so we have every right to question
what's
going on in his head.
I'm not saying that we do not have the right to question it. What I'm saying is that there are too many brilliant minds in this nation to allow somebody like that to lead this nation.
Yes, you're saying that, ignoring the fact that he was there in the first place.
Because
if there were so many analytical minds, how did he get to be president?
They chose to allow him to be.
No, you see, you can't have it both ways. He's either a blithering idiot, or he knows a thing or two about how to capture the imagination of the public, as much as we are critical of it. But it is a reality that we have to deal with. He is president of the United States. I agree with you. From my perspective, I continue to be shocked and amazed that is the low caliber character we have as the head of state of the United States. But it is real. We could be mad all we want, but that is the reality. You can't just say and dismiss it that it is not important. It is very important, a very important phenomenon and a very important element to grapple with and deconstruct. How did Donald Trump capture the imagination of millions of people? And yet, as you say, I don't disagree with you at all. It's not because he is extra brilliant or extra academically qualified. It is not because he has put in the work to gain experience. None of these things is true. But do we just set it aside, and yet the reality is there? He is president of the United States, and we can't seem to do anything about it.
That's my concern.
Tell me, who is brilliant and who is not?
That is my concern. But from what you were saying, from what we saw, it saddens my heart because you
of
have taught
it
us.
Saddens your heart because you can't imagine, just like I can't imagine, and millions of other people couldn't imagine. Why is it that people did not see this man or see through him or detect that he was not well suited for this job? But he got it, and impressively, as a first-time runner in any race. He never ran for city council or state senate or state assembly or dog catcher. This was the first time he ran, and he got it. So who's the fool here?
Well, that is my point. When I say this saddens my heart, it shows you the evil that has been pulled over the eyes of the American people by dumbing them down.
No, we should have seen that. Say that. How do you know they were dumbed down?
There's no other way.
They
could have been elected. From my standpoint, there's no other way he could have been president, Eugene.
How do you mean
there's
that?
No other way.
Maybe the other way might have been he ran a more competent campaign. The other way could be that he energized a population of voters that had been dismissed or discarded. You can't just take refuge in what you think is the point. You have to prove it. This is the anomaly of a Donald Trump. We are not idiots. We are not fools. We are not easily twisted one way or the other. And yet he's president.
No, I beg to differ on that.
And not only is he president, he continues to uphold his profile. And encouraging people to be shaking their heads all the time. How did this happen? Well, we don't want to face certain facts. That's how it happened. The facts were there from the very beginning, and people preferred not to see them.
No, I wouldn't agree. That's not true, Eutrice, because the mainstream media weren't reporting things as they are.
No, you can't blame the media. In the end, the decision of a vote, how you're voting, yay or nay, is a personal choice. How did this man, who we say all the time how unqualified he is, and then we have his children coming up as a new generation of people completely unqualified for the jobs that they have, but they're there. They are there. They're earning a lot of money. They're making even more money that we don't even know. And they are there. How is it that they are still there?
Well, that is a whole nother question.
No, it's the same question. How is it that in a country that reveres talent and intelligence and the capacity to lead and all these other things, how is it that we have Donald Trump as president? He didn't put a gun to people's heads. They voted for him in overwhelming numbers. What is the secret to that?
Again, I revert to what I was saying before. The American people have been dumbed down.
They can't say the American people have been dumbed down.
Oh, let me correct that. With the exception of the PRN listeners.
No, you can't.
As far as I know.
You're not making, your argument isn't making sense. To hold to that argument, I will now have to ask you another question. How is it that they suddenly have been dumbed down?
This has been going on for over 30 years.
Why weren't they dumbed down when Obama got elected? Or John F. Kennedy got elected?
No, that was a different era.
Johnson got elected.
That was a different era.
Oh,
people were thinking then.
You just refuse to look at the situation as it is. And the situation is, we have a phenomenon. There are no rules here. There's no playbook. There is no encyclopedia. Donald Trump got elected. He ran for office as a total novice candidate, and people were attracted to him. And he spoke the language they wanted to hear, just like in any other election. Every candidate does it. Elect me and you'll be living well. Okay, I like that. I'll vote for you. That's how it's been done all these years. People are afraid to answer the question as to how Donald Trump became president of the United States and may again be president in the 2020 election. We don't want to talk about it.
Well, we don't have anyone to run against him.
That's not true. Not true at all.
Biden? Are you saying Biden?
Biden, let's look at Biden. Biden has been in the political world for a long time. He's very experienced. He has a profile that any experienced politician, any experienced political person would say is attractive. And he should be supported because he's been vice president. He was a senator from Delaware. He's got lots of credentials. So how come Biden couldn't measure up to Trump?
Well,
I mean, it's an open question. How is it that with all of the pluses that Biden has and has had, with all of the ammunition he entered the race with, how is it possible that he could lose against a Donald Trump who has had no experience in politics at all, not even for dog catcher?
Well, because
what's going on there?
Well, you know, because he's running under the Democratic banner, and we know that it's the same party. That we know.
What, Trump? Are you saying Trump is running under the Democratic Party banner?
No, Biden.
Yes,
we know the Republicans.
Biden is running as a Democrat. Trump ran as a Republican and is running again as a Republican.
It's one party, you choose.
I don't care. How is it that this guy came out of nowhere and won a national election? What is the missing element? What is the element that we are missing? We are failing to comprehend a set of very important facts in how elections are won and lost. Trump never ran for dog catcher, as I said. His first office that he has run for is the highest office of the land. Now, explain that to me.
Well, Yutris, I'm not going to debate you because I know that that's a losing battle. I know that. But I still say it's simple.
But explain it to me, though. But explain it. Or explain it to yourself.
From my standpoint, it is very, very simple. Because the American people, they make the so-called mainstream media, that has been their job, to dumb down the American people.
Oh, now you're talking like Trump himself. You have to find somebody to blame. There's to blame the media, so people don't have independent minds. They cannot independently come to a conclusion. Somebody has to tell them what to do. And of all the people who ran, for them to select Trump, why? I keep asking, why? Why?
Okay.
What makes Trump a superior candidate?
Okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Yes. Yes. They could have selected other. There was a, even though it didn't make a difference, but they could have. We could have selected another candidate. That is correct.
Like who? Like who?
No, no. What was his name? Even Bernie. Even though we know he's a part of the system himself, but we could have selected him.
Yeah, but you didn't.
Right. Right.
Okay, so this is, we come back to the same question. Mm-hmm. Bernie had, at least technically, theoretically, many, many advantages over Trump. Didn't come close. We have to face the question. We have to answer the question. What are the factors, or what was the key factor in the election of Donald Trump? And why might it work again? We don't know. It looks like, you know, he's running a haphazard, crazy campaign now in 2020, but you never know. Maybe he knows something that we don't even know, or we haven't picked up. So I always say, just analyze.
Yes. Well, that's what I mean. You've taught us to do, to analyze stuff. And the whole thing doesn't make any sense to me at all. None at all. So I just dismiss it. I just dismiss it. I remember
it
when
most of the people of the nation, but guess what? It is nonetheless real. It is real. Even though we don't see the sense of it, it is real. And we have been forced to live with it, whether we like it or not. It's the reality that we have to deal with. That's the unusual thing about American politics. It's real. We can't deny it. Don't deny it. All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Lassie. Thanks for taking my call.
That's all right. Well, that brings us to the end of our program. But I hope you understand why it is so important, why I stress all the time, to look at things clinically, analytically. And chances are you will happen upon an insight that you didn't yourself expect. Why is Donald Trump the president of the United States and the presumptive next president of the United States, with all that baggage, all that deficiency? How did this happen? Did everybody who voted for him have a gun put to their heads? No. They enthusiastically voted for him and put him in office as our president of the United States of America, our Bible-toting president this time around. And we still will not ask the questions that need to be answered. How did this happen? Thanks, everybody, for chiming in. I really appreciate your thoughts and opinions and your contributions to the program, because this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to talk things out among ourselves and reason And chances are we will happen upon a solution or an insight or an explanation for things that we thought had no explanation, like Donald Trump as president of the United States. But as we go deeper and deeper, we will see how in some ways it made perfect sense to elect him. Some body of people, some group, some party of interest had an insight and they went with it. We'll see. We'll join each other again tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. And if you want, we could continue the discussion tomorrow as well. I'm just going to try and beat the curfew now. Life could be so interesting. Life could be very interesting. So we see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This is PRN, the comprehensive news source for the world's progressive community.